Welcome once again to the Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. My name is Ron Thomas, hosting today, and very pleased to be joined once again by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center. Dr. Wazir, good morning.
Good morning, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule always to join us and share valuable information to our listeners here. And that indeed is the case again today, as we want to talk about ovarian cancer. First, how have you been?
Pretty good. It's summer is going pretty well. It was quite hot, but you know, weather is changing, so that's good.
I'm ready for fall. How about you?
Yeah.
Let's get that fall season here. So you've been busy at Central Care Cancer Center?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Our machine is almost up. The listeners may remember that we are upgrading our radiation machine. So, a lot of construction and everything, but I think they're at the final stages. You know, they're just making sure it's safe and, you know, it's delivering the dose that the radiation doctor intends. And we should be ready by Memorial Day.
Oh, very soon then?
Yep, very soon.
All right. Or Labor Day you're talking about.
It. Yes, sorry. Okay, I'll mix that up. Because this is a American and non-American. Labor Day is May 1st in the rest of the world, right?
Yeah. So, we've got Labor Day coming up here at the end of this month, Memorial Day earlier in the year. So we've got that straight now.
Yep. Okay.
We are good to go.
You learn something new every day.
All right. Dr. Wazir is here with us, Central Care Cancer Center at 1401 West 12th Avenue here in Emporia. Very fortunate to have that fine healthcare facility here for us. Open 8 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. We encourage you to log on to cccancer.com for more information. Well, let's, Dr. Wazir, get into our topic today, which is ovarian cancer. Can we get kind of an overview on ovarian cancer and exactly what it is?
Yeah, so, you know, ovarian cancer is slightly different from explanation for other cancers, because when you say ovarian cancer, we're talking about cancer that starts in the ovary, the fallopian tubes, or the linings around it. So it's a broader area than you would suspect. And ovarian cancer is, you know, among the cancer that's, you know, common in women, you know, it's like right there on the number third spot, you know, like after breast, endometrial cancer, you know, so fairly common cancer. Yearly, I think the numbers are a little hard to kind of, put down, but, you know, around, 300,000 new cases, so a large number of women get it. And around 13,000 deaths per year in America, the last numbers I saw from the SEER database. This cancer happens a little older in when you're in your 40s and 50s. That's the period of time when you get this cancer. We can talk more about it, you know, because it's an interesting cancer from its pathophysiology point of view. And it's also important to know, like, what are the signs and symptoms to suspect when you have this kind of cancer.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. What are some of the signs and symptoms patients might see in ovarian cancer?
Right. So, well, this is kind of interesting because, like, in breast cancer, you know, it's an organ on the outside. You can feel a lump, or you can get your mammograms and you can detect it, right? And in endometrial cancer, you know, or you can have, like, you know, if you're after the period of menopause, that's when it usually happens. You'll have, like, spotting, you know, after many years of menopause, you all of a sudden have spotting. So that's for endometrial cancer. And for cervical cancer, you know, we have the pap smears and stuff that, kind of pick it up early, which is important. But for ovarian cancer, we don't have anything. We don't have a screening test that you can do on a regular basis to pick it up early. The symptoms are very vague, you know. So the way to think about it is like ovaries are kind of like floating out in the pelvis, right? And the reason they're designed like that is because, like every month in a woman, when they're in their fertile years, there's a production of an egg, one or two eggs, from the ovaries, and those goes into the uterus. But the ovary and the uterus aren't connected. There's like no physical space between them. Like the fallopian tubes kind of like just, cover the ovaries and suck that egg in. But the ovaries themselves are kind of like hanging out in the pelvis. So when you do have ovarian cancer, what happens is that those cancer cells can very easily kind of like fall out of the ovaries and kind of go to the rest of the pelvis. And they usually follow gravity, right? So they may end up in the what we call the most dependent parts of the pelvis, which means the parts of the pelvis which are lowest, you know, in your body structure. You know, for example, there's a thing called a pouch of Douglas, we call it, right? And that's an empty space between, like, the rectum, you know, the rectum in the front, and, of course, you know, the uterus and ovaries, you know, are there. So these kind of, like, lower spaces, this is where ovarian cancer, when it's advanced, kind of shows up. And the symptoms would be, like, abdominal bloating, for example, when it's kind of far along. Women can say that, hey, you know, like, I've been putting on weight, like they'll say. And they'll notice that, oh, you know, my abdomen is more prominent and, you know, much increased, while, you know, rest of their body doesn't have a lot of more fat deposits. So very subtle kind of symptoms. The other one that can happen is, like, you know, issues with, you know, having normal stool movements. Like, they'll never feel like their rectums are empty. And they'll go to the bathroom maybe 5-6 times a day, but, like, there won't be a lot of stool, because that's, like, the cancer cells kind of, like, being around the rectum and causing issues. This this condition is called tenesmus in, like, medical terminology. And the third one is, like, you know, problems with urination, you know, painful sexual intercourse, you know, dyspareunia, those kind of, like, pelvic, you know, symptoms that are hard to put your finger on, hard to describe, are, you know, usually the only things you have to go for ovarian cancer.
Dr. Wazir, are there any tests that you use to confirm a diagnosis?
Yeah, so usually when, you know, women have these kind of symptoms, their primary care doctor will order, like, a ultrasound of the ovaries, you know, transvaginal ultrasound, and that will have a good look, and it'll pick up any masses in either of the ovaries, and also in other areas in the pelvis with you, you know, if there's a pelvic mass. So usually that's the initial test, right? After this, then there's certain blood tests. You know, there's a tumor marker that is, you know, a protein produced by ovary cancer cells called the CA125 that's pretty specific for ovarian cancer. You know, that can be increased. And then the other thing that could be increased is, you know, if you get, of course, after that, you'll get a CAT scan and MRI, etc., to kind of see the extent of the disease. So those are that's the kind of like the testing that we need to do.
What about ovarian cancer and how quickly it can progress?
Yeah, so ovarian cancer, generally speaking, you know, I think the bigger issue is that it's like a slow, it's a slower cancer, but because the symptoms are so subtle, like usually they're diagnosed when they're pretty advanced, right, where they have reached a point where they're causing like just swelling in the abdomen just because of the bulk of the tumor. So, you know, it's not exactly a fast-growing tumor compared to, like, let's say, pancreatic cancer, but, you know, that doesn't make it any less deadly.
Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center, with us on the Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. We're here monthly. We appreciate Dr. Ali Wazir giving us some time to share some very valuable information on a monthly basis right here. Central Care Cancer Center, 1401 West 12th Avenue. We'll take our first break and be back with more of the Talk of Emporia right after this. Welcome back once again to the Central Care Cancer Center Monday edition of the Talk of Emporia. Ron Thomas hosting, and we're joined, as always, by medical oncologist and hematologist Dr. Ali Wazir of Central Care Cancer Center, 1401 West 12th Avenue here in Emporia. We encourage you to log on to cccancer.com for more Central Care Cancer Center information. Ovarian cancer is our topic today. Segment two, we want to, delve into prevention and early detection. So, is Dr. Wazir, is there a genetic component in some cases for ovarian cancer?
Yeah, Ron, you're absolutely on it. There's a huge genetic component in ovarian cancer. Around 10% of the patients will have some kind of genetic syndrome that caused them to have ovarian cancer. And, the culprits are, we call this like breast and ovarian cancer syndromes, right? You know, your BRCA1, BRCA1, BRCA2, which, you know, confer a 50% risk of getting ovarian cancer. If you have that gene in your family, the chance of you getting ovarian cancers are very high. So usually what we recommend is that you know, when women are done with their child, you know, birth, and they don't want to have any more children, at that point of time, they should take their uterus, get a hysterectomy along with a bilateral oophorectomy, which is a removal of both ovaries, as a preventative measure. There are other syndromes too, which increase the risk of ovarian cancer. For example, there's a syndrome called Peutz-Jeghers disease, and that basically, one of the components is increased risk of ovarian cancer. There's another one called ATM mutation. There's another one called PALB. So there's a laundry list of mutations that can cause ovarian cancer, sometimes associated with other cancers like classically breast cancer and BRCA1 and BRCA2, but sometimes associated with other different kind of cancers like in Peutz-Jeghers or other diseases. So now the question would be that, okay, if there is a syndrome that's giving you a 50% chance of getting cancer, like what should you do? So we offer those women that, we tell them that, hey, once you get your kids, you should take your uterus and ovaries removed. But in the interim, we basically do ultrasounds on them more frequently, and we check the blood test, the CA125. But the thing to kind of understand is that, we call it all ovarian cancer, but, there are a lot of subtypes, generally speaking, three large subtypes, the most common is called epithelial. Then there's one called sex cord stromal, and then there's a third one, germline. So, I'm discussing today is about epithelial ovarian cancer, which is the most common, and the high grade serous is thought to be the most common subtype within that epithelial. That's the most common, the epithelial type. The women who are at higher risk of that epithelial cancer are the ones who will have more events where the surrounding of the ovaries is disrupted. So what does that mean? When you hit menarche, which is the start of your periods, every month you're going to have an egg come out of the ovary, right?
Yeah.
Those events, the more you have that happening in your life, the higher the chances of ovarian cancer. For example, a woman who start having her periods at age 18, like 16, right, has a low risk of getting ovarian cancer compared to one who started at 10. It goes at the other end, right? Like if your menopause is very late at some women, even up to their 60s, they'll have periods, right? So for those women, that increased period of time where you have periods increases your risk of ovarian cancer. So another example of this is that, women on, hormonal contraceptives, and nowadays you have the Depo Provera and they don't have regular periods, so they have less disruption. So that is protective. Things that stop you from having regular periods like, childbirth leading to breastfeeding where you don't have periods or being on hormonal contraceptives actually decreases the chance of getting ovarian cancer.
You mentioned hysterectomy as an option. Does that basically take all risk out then for the most part?
Remember I told you that, when we say ovarian cancer, it's the ovaries, the fallopian tubes, and some of the surrounding areas. So unfortunately, it's not a zero, but it's very close. It takes most of the risk away, 90% of the risk away, but it's not 100% because you can have this thing called, primary peritoneal cancer, which is somewhat related to ovarian cancer.
So I think you touched on this in our first segment. As far as screening measures for people who may be at a higher risk, there's really very few options there.
Yeah, but we still have to do something. So we usually rely on ultrasounds and CA125. But this is not for all women. This is specifically for women who have a inherited syndrome. The BRCA1, which gives you a 50% chance of getting ovarian cancer. So
we're with Dr. Ali Wazir, who is a medical oncologist and hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center at 1401 West 12th. This is our monthly Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia, and we will be back with more right after this. Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. We are here on a monthly basis, and we're joined by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center. Ovarian cancer, our topic today. Dr. Wazir shared some very good information, and we want to finish the program up today by talking about options for ovarian cancer treatment, Dr. Wazir.
Yeah, so, this is a field that's a little bit in flux, but I'll just put out some broad points. which you may find interesting, right? So I said that, look, this cancer is usually discovered when it's already stage four. Stage four meaning that it has left the organ of the ovaries, has spread in the abdomen, in the peritoneum, in the linings of the intestines. But believe it or not, even at that stage, it's potentially curable. Which is very different for compared to other cancers. And the reason that is that the chemotherapy, which we have used for a long time now, which is two drugs, carboplatin and Taxol, you know, the way it works is that for most patients, what ends up happening is that we give them chemotherapy around six cycles, and that shrinks the ovary cancer down. And then, you know, with a gyn oncologist, so that's an OBGYN who has done, like, specific training in gynecology and then gynecological cancers. That's three more years of training. They do, you know, a resection where they take out, you know, the uterus and the ovaries and the covering around it, the fallopian tubes. They kind of map out where the lymph nodes that go from the ovaries are supposed to end up, and they clear out that area. And, you know, oftentimes they're able to kind of, like, get most of the what's called the Gross disease out. So that's kind of interesting because there are other cancers where you, even if you leave microscopic disease, you end up worse than, you know, not even having the surgery, right? Like in many other cancers, it's very important to have what's called an R0 resection. That means that you took all the cancer out, but not just the cancer that's visible, but the cancer that is also microscopic, right? In ovarian cancer, it's a little more forgiving. You know, you just need to take the whole cancer out as much as possible with clear margins after giving certain cycles of chemotherapy. And then you follow that up with more chemotherapy to kind of make sure that any cancer that's microscopic and left behind is also cleared out. The things that have changed in the recent past is that, you remember I told you 10% of ovarian cancers do have a genetic basis, right? Like BRCA1 and 2. So there's a set of pills that you can take that's called PARP therapy, P-A-R-P. And it's a pill that you take every day. There are many different drugs by this name. There's one called olaparib. There's niraparib. So the way now it works is that you get chemo, you get surgery, you get chemo after that, but you also get this pill, you know, and that pill is continued for a year sometimes or 2 years depending on the specific pill. And for women who have that mutation, it is excellent. Like the numbers suggest that, you know, you can cure them, you can really push the envelope and make sure that. But even with the women who don't have the mutation, at least on the first get-go, you know, if they have a what's called a high HRD score, you know, we won't get into the specifics of it, but essentially you can do a analysis of their genetic code. And even without the mutation, you know, there's some genetic codes that kind of like imply that they have like homologous combination deficiency, right? So that just means that a lot of the repair genes in the DNA, you know, aren't working as well as they have to. So in those women, it has been shown that putting them on that specific pill, which is like the exciting thing about ovarian cancer, really increases their chances of like a cure much more than just the surgery and the chemotherapy together.
So all the treatment options we've been talking about available at Central Care Cancer Center?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't, we wouldn't run the cancer
there
center.
We go.
So, you know, we do make sure that we are up to date on it and, you know, we are able to provide all of these treatments.
That's why we're so fortunate to have Central Care Cancer Center right here in Emporia. Well, Dr. Wazir, does Central Care participate like in any clinical trials for ovarian cancer?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. So, you know, look, I think the way we do it is actually pretty good because we have close collaboration at with the University of Kansas. That's just an hour and a half away. And, you know, usually know most of the folks who are or there. So if there is some clinical trial that, you know, we think you're a good candidate for and everything, usually we co-manage. We make sure that you get to, you know, the university, get your care or there, but also have the upside of, you know, having someone here to kind of take care of your day-to-day cancer treatment and stuff. So we do have a lot of co-managed treatment. From our own roof, like providing in-house, cancer trial registry and stuff, we don't. And I think, honestly, like given the size of the operation and everything and, you know, what goes into doing a clinical trial properly. You know, I think it's, you know, it's a good decision by our management. So, but yes, you know, if you, we encourage people to enroll in clinical trials. We have collaborations with the University of Kansas and Oklahoma University and University of Nebraska Medical Center.
Okay.
So yeah, we, you know, the docs are there, you know, they're very happy to help us in that sort of thing.
Well, Dr. Wazir, always a pleasure to talk to you. You share great information with us, and we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come join us on a monthly basis for our Talk of Emporia program.
Thanks for having me, Ron.
Dr. Ali Wazir, Central Care Cancer Center, medical oncologist and hematologist at Central Care, located at 1401 West 12th Avenue. You can call 342-1117. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. at 1401 West 12th. Or we encourage you to log on to cccancer.com for Central Care Cancer Center. That is our program for this month. We'll be back next month with Dr. Ali Wazir here, Central Care Cancer Center on KVOE, live and local.